Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Jake from State Farm here, hanging out with Mel's Mow & Grow. Mel chose State Farm for small business insurance because his local agent is a small business owner too. So she knew how to help him personalize his policies. And now, he's rolling in the green. Like a good neighbor. Guys, I'm trying to do the line.
Oh, sorry, Jake.
It's all good. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Everyone, welcome back to the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. We're so excited for a new season of fantasy football. I know it's been a while since we last talked to you all. That was for the NFL draft, but now we're getting ready for a new season. And look who came out of his hibernation chamber. Welcome back, Eric Smith. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's been a little busy for me personally, but it's kind of cut down on the content I've put out on the site. But if you're part of the Discord community at QB List, there's been lots of dynasty talk, lots of Scott Fishbowl talk, lots of just everything you can think of. I joined a salary cap dynasty league. I just joined a best ball dynasty league. Like, there's a lot going on. So if you haven't heard a lot from us lately, we were kind of just prepping behind the scenes and getting ready for the season. And looking forward to a new year, because it's going to be a fun one.
Oh, so you just ignoring my DMs. That wasn't you hibernating. You were just ignoring me. Got it. Perfect. Well, that's awesome that you've been so involved in a lot of things. And like you mentioned, actually, the QB List Discord space has been hopping with a lot of fun stuff. Obviously, as you mentioned, Scott Fishbowl, which we'll talk about, but also all the dynasty leagues, keeper leagues. I know a lot of people are going to have their keeper league deadlines coming up. And what better place than QB List to get just absolute instantaneous feedback? Come to us with your teams, show us what you got, and we'll help you out. Head on over to pitcherlist.com/plus. Obviously, at our sister site, Pitcher List, you'll get access to all of that amazing stuff and maybe help you finish your fantasy baseball season, and even maybe do well in DFS there. But you'll get access to all the QB List stuff as well, including the QB List staff. Speaking of the QB List staff, we are hiring. We're actually hiring staff writers. You can check out our Twitter at the QB List or the website QBList.com for details. But Eric, what are you looking for with a staff writer? What makes a good staff writer at QB List? And why is that not me?
Miles, you're much more than a staff writer. So if I set the bar that high, I'd never hire anyone. So, I mean, one really cool thing about this website is that somebody does not need to have extensive writing experience to write for us. When I applied, I was not published anywhere. I just, you know, it'd been so long. I'd been sitting around playing fantasy football my whole life and doing really well at it, but I was not writing, and I saw QB List was hiring, and you know, I just went to the website and I wrote a sample of what they were working on. I still remember it was a preview of the Carolina Panthers a few years ago, their upcoming season. And I mean, that article didn't even get published, you know, like it got me hired, but it didn't even get published. I was just like, well, let's write this article, try to match their style. And that's a really cool thing about our site is we're a really good place for new people to get a shot. So our primary thing is just looking for people who are a good fit for the site, someone who can be on Discord, who can be in Reddit, answering questions, getting along with people. We all know how the internet can be from time to time. You know, you see the fights daily on fantasy football Twitter. That's not what our staff is about. We want people who can interact with all kinds of different people, be polite, talk about fantasy football the right way. That's a huge thing here with QB List and fantasy football. That's primary. Obviously, you have to know fantasy football. You have to be a good writer. There's a lot of stuff like that. But if you're someone who's always wanted to get involved, this is a great time to just jump in, pick something, write it, send it in to me. And I'm happy to interview people and give them a shot because we just really want good people. So that's primary. And I think there are a lot of people out there that undersell how good they are at fantasy football. So just give it a shot. Give us a sample. Send it in info@qblist.com or just message me on Twitter, whatever. We'll figure it out. But I'm really excited. We've already got a lot of applications in, and I'm looking forward to talking with everyone.
Yeah. And I just want to say, as someone who's been part of, you know, the Pitcher List and QB List team now for the last 4 years, it's really the biggest thing is it's a good community of good people. And one thing that everyone shares is a love for the game. You know, you can improve as a writer, you can improve your analysis. I mean, that's what a lot of people, you know, when I came to the staff, I loved the sport and I was learning still about the analytics and about what makes someone a good fantasy, you know, player. And these are things that you can learn here. But as long as you've got a love for the sport, you know, you're good with people and you have a desire to grow and you know, really be, you know, improve yourself, there's a home for you here. So I definitely encourage everyone, if this is something that you want to pursue, send in an application and really just show us, you know, how much you love the game and that you want that growth, because that's, you know, those are the big things that I see for people who succeed here. So, I mean, take Eric, for example. You know, Eric mentioned, you know, he wrote an article about the Carolina Panthers preview to get hired on, and dude runs the site now. So who knows? Maybe the next the guy who takes Eric Smith's job from him, maybe you're out there ready to apply right now. So
I would gladly give away a little of my work. So come for me, everyone. Try to take this job. I've got plenty of work to go around.
In all seriousness, though, we're very excited to go through all those applications and see all the wonderful people that apply. So please don't hesitate. If you have any questions about it, feel free to reach out to me as well on Twitter. I'm at Miles Nelson PL. I'd be more than happy to give you a little bit of insight as to what, you know, being a QB List would be like and what we're looking for. And I know Eric would feel the same. Eric, what's your Twitter handle again?
At Eric Smith QBL.
There you go.
So I used to say at the QB List. It took me a minute. So message us. We're happy to talk to you about it. And it is a lot of work. So you got to be prepared to work and put the time in. But 100%. Other than that, just a positive attitude. That's half the battle.
Yep. So all these new staffers that we're bringing on, I mean, I guess maybe there's something cool coming. Maybe the website is, you know, launching again for the new season. When is QB List 2021 launching?
We are launching on August 2nd. That is the week of the Hall of Fame game, first preseason game. So if you look at your calendars, we have football coming very soon. So we wanted to hype everyone up for football starting with our QB List 2021 launch. The website's going to look pretty similar to last year. It's already awesome the way it is. So there's not a ton of huge changes that way. But we're really excited about a few things this year. We are going to do our first ever staff projections. Big thanks to Kenny Heitenhove. I've been working with him on those projections. He's done a lot of the work, though. So huge thanks to Kenny. We're going to have projections. We're going to have all of my rankings out on August 2nd, which projections and rankings are a little different. So we're going to have both of those for you, depending on what you want. You know, we'll have a Google Sheet to share with you if you want to use our projections. We're going to try to get that released early on Discord. So just as a thanks to our supporters, our staff and everyone. So that'll be available. But yeah, August 2nd is just going to have a ton of good stuff highlighted by the projections. But we'll have our typical bold predictions, going deeps, sleepers and busts, all that kind of stuff. And then it's going to be full gear ahead, full speed ahead for the rest of the preseason. So it's been a little quiet this summer. But we are ramping up behind the scenes, and August 2nd on, it's going to be like we never left. So really looking forward to it this year. And it's going to be nice to have a year where at least, knock on wood, we're pretty sure we're going to have a season as opposed to last year, which was hard to believe that was a year ago. So really looking forward to 2021.
Yeah, we're so confident we're going to have a season that we're going to add an extra game to it. 17-game season. A lot to talk about there, obviously. Not today, but just kind of what that might mean for fantasy football kind of as we get close to the preseason. But I want to go back and just, again, shout out to Kenny Heitenhove. He has done a lot of amazing work and really has shown a lot of smarts on the data analysis side. The last few years doing the opportunity report, which is criminally underrated and absolute stroke of genius that he's kind of put together. And for him to put that brain to use with projections and you with all the everything that you know about football, you know, kind of putting that together to create our website's projections. It's really cool that we're going to have that. And I'm really looking forward to seeing exactly how correct they are, because if they're not 100% correct, then what's the point, you know?
That's we need to push back launch a little bit. Hang on. It's honestly the best way you can prepare for the season. I'd recommend people out there, even if they're not super detailed projections, just going through each team, looking at target shares. It really opens your eyes to a lot of things. So I'm looking forward to talking about that in the upcoming weeks, because we'll probably have multiple podcasts just on our projections alone.
So speaking of Kenny and you, I hear you guys are doing something pretty cool next month. You're heading to Canton, Ohio as part of the Fantasy Football Expo. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to that. Just a chance to meet a bunch of people in person, honestly. We're kind of figuring this one out as we go, but it's going to be a huge industry event. Lots of people there. I think everyone's really excited to get out after COVID. So I'm really looking forward to meeting some people in person. If anyone's listening who is going, hit me up. I'd love to meet up with you, but it's just a chance to meet people face to face. It's been a long year of meeting people over Zoom calls and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So let's just get out there, meet some people. There's some panels, some expert mock drafts, hoping to be a part of some of that stuff. But I just want to let people know that we're going to be there, and I'm happy to meet everyone and just really looking forward to it. So August 15th in Canton, that's where the Pro Football Hall of Fame is. It should be a great time. So hope to see you there.
Yeah, nice good weekend of football, whether fantasy or Hall of Fame or, just taking in some preseason football. And who better to do that with than all the fine folks who are going to be at the Fantasy Football Expo. Speaking of expert drafts and stuff like that, one thing that we're really proud of here is, you know, being transparent about how we do. And in 2020, the QB list draft rankings finished 63rd out of 191 experts. So that's in the top third. That's ahead of people like Heath Cummings, Rudy Gamble. I'm not trying to bring anyone else down, but I'm just saying, you know, we did some pretty good work, and I'm really proud of everyone who was a part of that. And we're called QB list, finished in the top 25 in terms of QB rankings. It's not easy to draft rankings and then so much changes in week one. Player goes hurt, gets hurt, and your rankings get all thrown out of whack from there. So it's really, really cool that we're in the top third of all the experts who were ranked in this accuracy ranking.
Yeah, and middle of the pack and the experts is pretty good, because there's a ton of talent in fantasy football. It's insane right now. You got so many websites plus multiple people submitting rankings per website. We're mm-hmm. pretty proud that our one ranking for the site's in the top third. So yeah, like you said, like we're mentioning those names, people we finished ahead of, like Andy Holloway and Jason Moore, fantasy footballers, John Paulson, 4 for 4. We're mentioning them just because we respect them so much. The fact that, you know, we were better than them for years, just awesome. And I think it also shows a little bit of our draft strategy. Everyone kind of got on me last year how much I was in on the running backs, the rookie running backs. And I know there's a lot of hand-wringing about the seasons that they had. They were not great seasons, but we still finished that high in the rankings, and that's because you're going for upside in these drafts. And, you know, if you miss on a couple rookies in the mid rounds and they don't have that blow up season, it's not going to kill you. You want that player that really blows up. So I think it kind of ties all that back together where it's like, it's worth taking those shots later in the draft, even if they don't work out. There's a lot of picks in that area that won't work out. So that's just one thing I want to do this year is go for upside. Once again, that's how you win leagues, is going for the upside plays, especially in fantasy football. So yeah, just really excited. 63rd overall, we'll take it, and hoping to get at least into the top 50 this year, if not higher.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about draft strategy as the back half of this podcast. We're going to talk about what the ADP looks like for the first two rounds as of right now for fantasy football, looking ahead to the 2021 season. Lastly, talk to me a little bit about the Scott Fishbowl. I know we've been seeing it all over Twitter lately. I mean, it's huge. There's so many people participating in it. But yeah, you know, who's representing QB list in Scott Fishbowl this year? And you know, tell me a little bit more about it.
Yeah, so we were really excited to have three people in Scott Fishbowl 11. I was in it, Kenny Heitenhove and Benjamin Howler. We all drafted a team. It's a huge league, but again, there are a lot of experts out there. There are a lot of fans wanting in this thing. And so we're really happy to have three people up from two last year for the site. So it's just a giant fantasy football, primarily a fundraiser first. Scott Fish raises a ton of money for charity, but then it's a huge industry league, brings fans and analysts together. There were like, you know, 160 some kind of concurrent leagues going on. And then it whittles down to the playoffs at week 15, I think this year, 14 or 15. So it's just a giant league, a bunch of leagues drafting at the same time, and just kind of a kickoff to the redraft season in some ways. Now it's time to start, you know, kind of getting ready for things beyond dynasty and rookie drafts. So it was a lot of fun. Crazy scoring settings, really makes you think with every pick. And the league I was in was just a blast. We named them all after, you know, musicians this year. I was in a Tribe Called Quest division, and it was just an incredible draft group. I mean, I didn't see more than two or three reaches the whole draft. So just a great time overall. I would recommend everyone try to get in next year. It's one of my favorite days of the year when that slow draft kicks off.
Yeah, and obviously a fantastic cause as well. It's always good when you can both do something fun, like, you know, play fantasy football and draft a fantasy football team and raise money for charity. So absolutely a fantastic thing that they do. And hopefully, you know, we've got three people in the main league. Hopefully, you know, one of you three, Eric, Kenny, and Ben Howler, one of you guys can take home the win this year. It'd be really cool. Or, you know, I mean, make it to the playoffs.
You know, last year I started Joe Mixon and Michael Thomas, so I'm just looking to avoid injuries this year. But
let me know who you draft so I know who to avoid.
This year I drafted from the two spot. Mahomes went first because it's a super flex league, so I got McCaffrey. He's just, you know, his scoring is just unheard of at the position. And I had Aaron Jones there at 2.11. I figured out quarterback later. I went Trevor Lawrence, Carson Wentz, and the Jameis Winston Taysom Hill stack to round out my quarterback. Whoa. So I was really excited about that one.
I don't know. Does that count as a stack, or are you handcuffing a quarterback there? I mean, I'm not really sure. I mean, it could be both. Who knows? If Winston goes down, Hill might just move from tight end to quarterback. So be quite the thing down there in New Orleans. Awesome. Let's talk a little bit about the 2021 fantasy football season because we've got some ADP data. Basically we've been looking at NFC since June 1st, so about a month and a half now. For the most part, there hasn't been a ton of movement in the NFL since that time, so nothing that'll really shake up the draft boards. There have been 138 drafts, and you know, I mean, it's a good mix of, you know, leagues, right? We've got not always best ball, so we got people who are going to be playing for in-season stuff. Some of them are best ball, so it's draft and hold, but it's a good mix. We're going you know, with PPR settings, one quarterback. And the really cool thing about why I always like looking at ADP from NFC or NFBC for baseball, because these leagues generally, for the most part, have money on the line. And so therefore you're not getting people. One of the biggest things that sucks about mock drafts this time of year is you jump in a mock draft, and if there's nothing on the line, you might have, you know, one to five people dip like halfway through the draft, and then it's just like completely useless. You got money on the line. These people are sticking around and making good picks. Well, their idea of good picks all the way through. So, with all of that said, what are there any overall trends that you've noticed in the first two rounds of drafts so far that have stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's It depends on the league type somewhat, but it's hard to look past this ADP with the running back position right now. 10 of the first 12 picks in the first round are running backs as of right now. 15 of 20 in the first two rounds total are running backs. So in these formats, people are hammering running backs. I've seen in some best balls, underdog best balls, some other stuff in the industry where receivers are really going up in ADP lately and people are going the zero RB approach. But in these, you know, in these NFC leagues, it's still super running back heavy. So that really puts you to the decision early on is, do you want to kind of just fight for your life and grab a running back or two and figure the rest out later? Or do you want to go against the grain and try to, you know, field a unique team? So just right away, right off the bat, I know it's every year, but even more so this year, you've got to make decisions on running backs, which ones you'll take that early and which ones you just want to let someone else reach on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the min max of these picks. So the highest spot they get picked in the draft. And there's only two non-running backs that have cracked the top five period in these leagues. Actually, there's Pat Mahomes was drafted fifth in presumably one league, but that person probably didn't realize it wasn't a super flex league and or just really believes in Pat Mahomes. So I'm very thankful Pat Mahomes' mom is in an NFC league. But in all seriousness, though, right, even the guys whose ADP are a lot lower, like Antonio Gibson or Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who are both in, you know, ADP puts them in the second round, they have a min pick in the top five. So there are, you know, there are people, if you're reaching for someone, you're still reaching for a running back. So there really is clearly a heavy emphasis placed on running back. Let's talk about the running backs. Since, you know, obviously we've talked and been mentioning them so much. And as you said, I mean, it's not just 10 of the first 12, but 11 of the first 13 running backs are running backs in drafts. So the first four are kind of bunched together. All four of them have been picked as high as number two. Actually, all five of the first five have been picked as high as number two. And that is Christian McCaffrey, who's typically the first pick, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, Derrick Henry, and then Jonathan Taylor. Who stands out? Is there anyone here that stands out to you that definitely doesn't deserve to be in this top five?
Yeah, for me, it's pretty clearly Jonathan Taylor. Again, it's funny. I was all over these rookies last year in drafts, and now that they're sophomores, I'm fading them. But it's really just the draft capital. And if Jonathan Taylor is going top five pick in a draft, especially a PPR league, that's the big note here. We're really expecting quite a lot in his second year for him to hit that ceiling that can be like an RB1. It's all pass catching. I have no doubt in my mind that he can get it done on the ground, but I mean, Jonathan Taylor had 39 targets in 15 games last year, and that was with the check down king, Philip Rivers, throwing him the ball. It's not to say he can't improve on that this year. He obviously did not get as many snaps as we would have liked to have seen Taylor get last year. But those are pretty ideal circumstances for Taylor to get targets with Philip Rivers. Now you get Carson Wentz. Wentz and Miles Sanders last year it was painful to watch them try to connect on these dump down passes. Not that Wentz can't get better either, but when we're taking Jonathan Taylor RB5, RB2, wherever it is, we really just need him to hit on that pass catching like immediately this year. And I think there's some other running backs like McCaffrey, like Cook, like Kamara. We've seen them do the pass catching role, gives them a higher weekly floor. We're basically counting on Taylor to either take a huge step in that department or to have a Derrick Henry outlier year. So I love Taylor as a player. Back of the first round, early second round, no problems with him there. But when you start putting him up in the top five, that's when I have an issue with it.
Well, and it's interesting to me that you mentioned Derrick Henry, because I was going to say, you know, Henry is someone who finished in the top five at running back, even despite, I mean, he only had 31 targets last year. Derrick Henry does not catch passes, but obviously he also had a year for the record books, you know, crossing the 2000 mark, leading the league in touchdowns for the second straight year. So obviously that is quite the outlier season. That is the person who concerns me more than Jonathan Taylor, because how many times have we seen running backs get run into the ground? And then, you know, the next year, it's really hard for them to follow that up with even like an average season by a running back standard, let alone by the insane standard that Derrick Henry has now set for himself these past 2 years. So are you at all concerned about a 27-year-old Derrick Henry coming off of 378 rushes and 2,000 yards? And that was just during the regular season.
Yes, but I've kind of long ago just thrown my hands up with Derrick Henry and just kind of labeled him as the outlier. And, you know, if it's a dynasty league, yeah, I'm worried. Redraft, I think we can get another year out of him. I don't love seeing Arthur Smith go. As his play caller last year. He really just made this one of the most efficient offenses in the league. We've got to hope he keeps that going. Now that they have Julio Jones and AJ Brown, it's maybe a little more passing based if the defense is bad and they're falling behind. But I do think Henry's safety, I mean, he's just been so insane these last few years. He's got more safety than Taylor. And so I'm willing to take a shot on him, I think, just a little bit more. I do understand that Taylor has maybe some more pass catching upside. Well, definitely more pass catching upside than Henry. So people might want to jump Taylor above Henry, but Henry's he's just a freak of nature. And I don't think he's going to fall off a cliff necessarily. So I think we can get another solid year from him.
Yeah, mentioning Julio Jones, that was another thing I definitely had in mind. But, you know, it's also could be a catch 22. I mean, the Titans have not had extensive weapons in the passing game. I mean, if you consider Corey Davis as someone that defenses were keying in on, then I have a surprise for you. They weren't not to the level that they were worried about Derrick Henry. That's for sure. But now you've got Julio Jones and AJ Brown out there. And I'm not going to say that defenses aren't going to stack the box still against Tennessee. But at the same time, if they can get out to a hot start and Julio and AJ Brown can start, you know, kind of tearing apart defenses that load up on the run, then we might see some more lanes for Derrick Henry. Again, if there's a runner that's going to succeed against a stacked box, it's Derrick Henry. But, you know, the fewer tackles he has to run through, the better chance he has of making it through a 17 game season and being productive. You know, that's one of those things that it could be beneficial for him and it could also be the worst thing in the world. And there's really no way until the game start for us to know that.
I believe it was the Athletic Fan, or not even the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast, just the Athletic NFL Podcast. Tennessee was like tops in the league last year and like max protect. Like basically what they would do is just play action, have two guys going deep, AJ Brown, Corey Davis. Like that was basically their strategy. Just play action, max protect, get it to the playmakers. And now those playmakers are Julio Jones and AJ Brown. So you could definitely see what they're playing on here. It looks like more of the same. And I'm not sure if there's a more imposing trio than Henry, Julio Jones, and AJ Brown. So they might be able to pull this off. It's the wear and tear is certainly a concern in the lack of pass catching, but it's going to be a fun offense to watch. And if it keeps humming like it did, I think I want pieces of multiple people in this offense.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, good luck getting multiple people in this offense. It's doable, but I mean, it's not going to be the easiest thing in the world. All right, let's talk about the running backs in the back half of the first round. We've got five more to talk about. That's Ezekiel Elliott at 6, Saquon Barkley at 7, Austin Eckler at 9, and Cam Akers and Nick Chubb at 11 and 12, with Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill fitting in like kind of the holes there that we skipped over. We'll talk about them in a minute, but Zeke, Barkley, Eckler, Akers, and Chubb. Do you think all these guys are worthy first round picks?
Man, again, Akers is a little early for me. It's similar to Taylor. I mean, Akers only had 14 total targets last year. He missed three games, which, also, you know, he didn't hold up his whole season, his rookie year. He got hurt. I know it's hard to predict injuries. I'm not calling him injury prone, but we don't know that Akers can hold up to a full workload yet for a whole season. And we don't know that he's going to catch passes. It's exciting to have McVay and Matthew Stafford there. It's going to be a fun offense. He certainly could score a bunch of touchdowns. But again, if we want that RB3 season or RB2 or RB5, like you're going to need pass catching again, unless it's just a Derrick Henry outlier season. So that's what worries me about Akers. We're just already baking in all of this improvement in year two. And it's a high price to pay. I mean, you compare it to someone like Nick Chubb, both Taylor and Akers. Chubb's not someone I draft a ton of. But I mean, Chubb has shown he can handle the workload. He's got a 5.2 career yards per carry. He's in a great running game offense. He's had a near 1500 yard season in his career on the ground. If they end up Nick Chubb, that's a back half of the first round running back, and that's great, but we haven't even seen them do it yet quite like Chubb. So it feels like Chubb is the safer version of them. Sure, they have more upside, but we're really counting on a huge jump in year two. So I'm fading Akers, and I love him as a player. I drafted him a ton last year. If it was later in the second round, I'm in, but it's just too early for me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're not saying that they're not going to be good, because I think we both can agree that we expect a great seasons from Jonathan Taylor and Cam Akers. It's just that at the price that you're paying, them being first round picks, you're basically like paying for what you hope is their best case scenario. Yep. And you don't want that because, you know, winning a draft is all about getting that surplus value, and you get that surplus value by getting more production than the cost of the draft slot that you pick them in. You know, in snake drafts, it's not always that simple because there can be huge drop offs in tiers, and there may not be anyone that can, you know, get that surplus value necessarily. But here, you know, with Akers, there's running back behind him, like you mentioned, Nick Chubb, Aaron Jones, guys like this that, you know, are going later on in the draft that have the similar upside, and I mean, even have a better floor because we've seen them do it than Cam Akers does. Real quick, Zeke and Barkley being at 6 and 7. I mean, Barkley coming off a major injury, Zeke having the season that he just had. Do you have any major concerns about spending your first round pick on Elliott or Barkley?
Yeah, they scare me a lot. So when I don't pick them as my fade, it's not necessarily because of supreme confidence. Barkley's injury is a worry, but if you're going for upside, I mean, Barkley had 121 target season in 2018. You know, he had 17 in 2019 when he was injured with a high ankle sprain. So just he's got that upside that nobody other than, you know, Kamara, Cook, McCaffrey has with that pass catching ability. Even same with Zeke. I mean, I know he's getting up there in age for a running back. He's less explosive, but he has averaged 79 targets a season over the last 3 years. So, I mean, I don't think Pollard's just going to steal the job from him. It's going to be a really good offense. Yes, you're hoping that you got one more good year out of Zeke here, but just the volume is hard to beat. So it's a tough call at the back end of the first round, but I do think that they have better league winning upside that we've seen before. And I know that's a tricky spot with running back. It's a young player's game, and you got to be ready to move on, but I'd take shots on Barkley and Zeke again.
As a Cowboys fan, I hope there's like four more good years out of Zeke, because right. I think that's how many more years we have him on that insane extension on. So yeah, maybe if we can keep saying one more good year for like the next 4 years, then that'll be good. Yeah. And then I noticed, you know, in the notes here, you've got Austin Eckler of all people listed as your target of like the running backs in the first round. And that's Eckler's someone that concerns me. Just, you know, you look at him, right? You look at all these running backs, you put them in a lineup, and there's one dude that stands out, and that's Christian McCaffrey, but also Austin Eckler, because he's small. And I mean, he doesn't look like he should be able to be a lead running back for a full season. And in fact, he wasn't able to do that this past season. He was fantastic when he was healthy, but he did miss a lot of time. And so I have to wonder about Eckler's, you know, durability, being the size that he is, being a full-time running back for another season. I see you have a mention as a target. Go ahead and sell me on Eckler here in the first round.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, first I'll say that Aaron Jones would probably be my target, but I felt like it was cheating because as soon as we find out that Rodgers is back, his ADP is going to skyrocket. So that's kind of the caveat there. But as far as Eckler, I just think if you're at the back half of back end of the first round, early second, and you're looking for a running back, yes, I know that maybe we can't count on 17 games out of him, but he's really good when he's out there. And I think I would trade a few injured games for better production when he's out there and just fill in the gaps when I can. I mean, he had 65 targets last year in 10 games. He's got Herbert as his quarterback for the foreseeable future. That should be a really good offense. And he's just, you know, there's nobody behind him backup running back wise. It's going to take any work. He's the show in town. He's pass catching. So it's huge in PPR. He had 108 target season in 2019. It's just all pass catching here. And I mean, he's had a 16.5 points per game or more the last 2 years. That's really good company that it puts him in. And I just think he's someone that people forget about. And he's small, like you said, and they just assume he's going to get hurt. But I mean, we just talked about Saquon Barkley coming off of a major injury, huge workloads for Zeke and Derrick Henry. There's a lot of question marks with any rookie in football. Sure. It's just a tough position. So I think when Eckler's out there, we're going to get really good production. He's not someone I'm jumping up and taking, you know, pick 5 overall or anything. But I think when you're picking 9, 10, 11, 12, he's a really good target to come out of the first 2 rounds with.
Yeah, I feel like Eckler is the kind of guy that I would use a lot in DFS, and I don't know how many times I'd draft him in season long. Just again, you may feel comfortable trading a few injured games for someone who it will bring stellar production in their healthy games, and I will be concerned that their injured games will be like weeks 13 through 15 when I need them the most. So, but it's all about risk management, right? Understanding what risk you're willing to manage and how you're willing to take that. Speaking of risk management, let's talk about the rookie, because I think this is like the lowest rookie that we've lowest like top rookie running back that we've seen in quite some time. Najee Harris is the 13th player off the board, 11th running back off the board, and I feel like I don't know the last time that we had someone that we did not have a rookie running back who made it into the first round. And by the way, I do fully expect that Najee Harris will creep into the back of the first round by the time the season starts because of the hype of it all. But as of right now, he's just outside the first round.
Yeah, and I don't know. Maybe the fantasy community is just getting so smart. It's got to just be the Steelers' offensive line, because I don't see any other reason to not hype him up there. I mean, the Steelers' offensive line looks really bad, and I feel like in years past, a lot of people would have glossed over that. So maybe we're just getting smarter as a community. We're being a little more hesitant. But, I mean, he's got the first-round ADP from the NFL draft that we like. The team's all but said like they want him to be the bell cow. They probably have said it, actually. So he's going to be their bell cow. They've lined him out wide, and practices so far. They want to get him the ball in the air. I think Roethlisberger, he's getting towards the end of his career, but there's still some worse quarterbacks out there, I think, for your fantasy player to be attached to than Roethlisberger. He can run the offense. This isn't like a Drew Lock situation from last year. So. I think he's going to get hyped up. The only thing I can think of is this offensive line, because he could have a monster year here as far as volume goes. And he was an excellent player in college. He can do a little bit of everything. And it's just all arrows are pointing towards a good season here from him. It's just a matter of, is it RB5 or RB15, I think.
Wow. You think he's got RB5 ceiling in the cards here, huh?
Well, I mean, we're drafting Jonathan Taylor, RB5, and he hasn't had look at where we drafted Taylor last year and where he's getting drafted this year, the season he put up doesn't quite warrant that. So, what do we need to see from Najee Harris to get him as RB5 next year? Like, would it just take a similar season to Taylor? So, I don't know. If he's their only back and they're throwing the ball in the air, there's no reason he can't be a top 10 running back this year, if not higher. So it's just volume and pass catching. That's what we're looking for.
All right. And so then rounding out the second round, we've got a lot of different running backs that, there's reasons to like all of them, right? I mean, that's kind of, there's a reason they're in the second rounds, because they have a lower floor, but they all have high ceilings. And so we've got Aaron Jones of the Green Bay Packers, Antonio Gibson, Joe Mixon coming in as the 19th pick, and then Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 21. If you're sitting there, I'd say like pick 15 or 16, all these guys are on the board and you say you want a running back, how would you rank them? Aaron Jones, Antonio Gibson, Joe Mixon, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I mean, like I said, I think it's cheating with Jones a little bit. As long as we've got Aaron Rodgers back, he's going to be ranked higher. I would probably bump Jones all the way up to running back. I mean, Jones has been so good. I'd probably jump him up to, even as high as like RB5. I mean, he's been so good. So I'm all in on Jones. If Aaron Rodgers is back, I would take the discount right now if I'm drafting and hope for the best. Otherwise, I mean, we'll talk about it some when we get into the receivers, but this is where I think I start loading up on receivers or other positions. And if I missed out on a first round running back, I may just miss out on a first and second round running back here. I think there's some red flags with Cincinnati's offense, Burrow coming back from injury. I still don't trust the offensive line. Mixon hasn't been a huge pass catcher in his career. Edwards-Helaire, I really like at a discount, but I don't think the second round is quite that discount. Gibson, I like Gibson. It's just a little hard to know what that offense is going to be, and there's going to be a lot of talented players in that offense to get the ball. So Gibson could certainly have a breakout. So he'd probably be my favorite there of that group. But this is where I start looking at wide receiver and tight end.
Let me just ask you, right outside of the top 24 is DeAndre Swift at 25 and then J.K. Dobbins at 28. Would you put which of those guys would you put over Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Swift, Dobbins, or neither?
I wouldn't take them up where Helaire is going. Which okay. is what's that?
Well,
about?
I mean, that's the question, 17, right? If you pick 20, like yeah. which of those three are you taking? And you're saying none of them.
No, I'm going receiver or tight end. I think they're kind of all in similar boats. I just Dobbins, is he going to get the pass catching? Swift, they've kind of shown a willingness to try to get some other backs in there to spell him. I'm taking receiver here.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about Detroit's offense. Yeah. All right, cool. So that's running back. Would you say your strategy for a running back coming into the draft is try to get one of them in the first round? Or maybe if you have like a back half of the first round pick, maybe you get your running back at the top of the second round. But it doesn't sound like you feel like you need to come out of the first two rounds with two running backs.
No, I don't think so. And I would be going for probably the top, and like, again, depending on Aaron Jones, but maybe the top nine running backs here and kind of letting the rest go. I want one of my favorites, and then I'm going to let everyone else overdraft them and take the wide receiver values.
All right. So let's talk about wide receiver then and the wide receivers that are going in the top two rounds. And first of all, we've got Tyreek Hill. He is currently ADP at 10th overall. He's been picked as high as fifth. So there are people that are picking him above, you know, some of these elite running backs. We also have Stephon Diggs at 14. Man, what a change from last year, huh? Wow, he's a lot higher all of a sudden. Devontae Adams at 16. Again, there's so many questions about who's going to be throwing him the ball. Let me ask you. So obviously, if we're drafting right now, we don't know. But if we were to say Jordan Love's the one throwing him the ball, where would you want Devontae Adams? Like, how? Where would you draft him?
Whew. That's a tough one. So, I mean, you look down into the third round, you can still get Keenan Allen mid third round, just proven player with Justin Herbert throwing him the ball.
You'd rather have him.
Yeah, I'd rather have him. I know the volume's going to be there. I know what kind of offense that's going to be. So we're already into the third round. Terry McLaurin with Fitzmagic chucking him the ball downfield. That's pretty exciting. Allen Robinson, maybe some better quarterback play. I don't know if I could take Devontae Adams over CeeDee Lamb. But I think it's in the third round. You're looking at him, and I wouldn't fault someone for just not drafting him because we just have no idea what Jordan Love's going to be.
What if it was Kevin Love throwing him the ball? He still got it. He still throws some nice passes. That's like the one thing I think Kevin Love is still doing in Cleveland. All right.
He'd be a pocket passer. So maybe that would fit with Devontae Adams.
Yeah, there you go. So then we got DeAndre Hopkins at 18, Calvin Ridley at 20. That feels really low to me personally. But we'll talk about him in a second. DK Metcalf at 22 and Justin Jefferson at 24. So I just named all the wide receivers going in the first two rounds, cause there's only about six or seven of them. Of these guys, who surprises you the most at where they're ranked? Tyreek Hill at 10, Stephon Diggs, 14, Devonta Adams, 16, Hopkins at 18. Actually, to take out Adams altogether just because of the situation in Green Bay. Hopkins at 18, Ridley at 20, Metcalf at 22, and Justin Jefferson at 24.
Surprises me. It just surprises me that that Tyreek Hill's not going earlier, that they're not bumped up a little bit. I mean, there's just, like we said, there's a lot of risk with these running backs, and you can just, I mean, if you took Tyreek Hill at pick six, I think you're going to have a good team. I mean, he's just locked in every week. I'm surprised these guys aren't getting pushed up higher. I'd push Diggs up ahead of Akers and Chubb. You know, like I think they all need to be shifted up four or five spots. If you're just looking at one of them overall, I'd say I'm a little surprised that Justin Jefferson, like I think people have fallen in love with him, and I'm surprised they haven't fallen in love with him even more. I mean, that was like the best rookie year you could ever see. And so I'm kind of surprised that people haven't even hyped him up higher than the end of the second round, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, he had a fantastic season, but you look at all these guys. I mean, are you taking Justin Jefferson ahead of DK Metcalf, ahead of Calvin Ridley? And then if you're not, which by the way, I'm not, but if you're not, then that means you have to push all of them up ahead of the running backs, which obviously that's what you said you would do. But clearly the industry at large does not feel that way. Before we get into like a little bit more about these guys, are there anyone outside of this top 24 that you think should be in there? Notable names, AJ Brown at 26, Michael Thomas at 29. You mentioned Keenan Allen before at 30. We'll stop there. Those three guys, do you think they deserve to be drafted in this by the end of the second round?
yeah, those are actually the three that I would push up. I would drop some running backs out, and I don't see any reason why Keenan Allen shouldn't be locked into pick 24 in a draft. He's going to be so consistent. PPR league, he's going to have a ton of volume, and he's got a good quarterback. So once you get past him, it's McLaurin, Allen Robinson, CeeDee Lamb. There's enough concerns there, but I really think Keenan Allen's the end of a tier. And those top receivers, I like them all. I mean, we start talking about fades, I have a hard time coming up with any. So give me as many of those running backs as I can. I'll take my bell cow running back if I can get it, and otherwise I'll just take those receivers.
So who do you think is the best value of the wide receivers that are currently going in the first two rounds?
I'm just really big on Calvin Ridley. I've been drafting him for years now. He gets better every year. It reminds me a little bit kind of the DeAndre Hopkins trajectory. He just kind of improves on his last year each year. That's what you want to see. It doesn't always continue in that trend, but everything's pointing up for him for yet another year. I mean, Julio Jones is gone now. His primary target competition is Kyle Pitts, who we think he's going to be a really good tight end and maybe more of a receiver than a tight end, but it's still a big question mark. He's a rookie. Rookie tight ends have a terrible track record. If he doesn't, you know, blow up his first year, Ridley's going to get every single target he can possibly handle. I think Russell Gage is fine, but he's not going to be taking work from Calvin Ridley. Nah. So I'll take Ridley there anytime. Like, I mean, any day, pick 20 overall. And if I'm higher up in the draft and I'm just kind of stuck and I don't know who to take, he's like my default pick. So I love Ridley. He led the league in air yards last year. He was second in red zone targets, I believe. So it's just he checks almost every box you would want.
Now, are we at all concerned that Ridley is going to fall into the same kind of issue that we had a few years ago when Antonio Brown left Pittsburgh and we're all like anointing Juju Smith-Schuster as he's going to get soak up all the targets. He's going to be so much more productive. He's going to be a top five. I remember seeing he's going to be a top five wide receiver. People were saying they'd pick him in the first round, definitely in the second round. And it didn't play out the way that we thought, because when you take away someone that good, when you take away Julio Jones, there's a lot more attention all of a sudden on Ridley. It's not going to be as easy for him to get open. And we saw what happened a few times last year when Julio didn't play. Ridley had some big games, but Ridley also had some games where he couldn't get anything going. So, you know, why should we expect this to be any different than what happened a few years ago with a similar situation in Pittsburgh?
No, I mean, that's a really good point for sure. I think Ridley is a better all-around player than Juju Smith-Schuster. We kind of found out how, he's mainly been used as a close-range target recently, Smith-Schuster. I think Ridley's a better player, a little more developed with downfield. I mean, the air yards shows it. They're going to him deep. And frankly, Matt Ryan missed a bunch of throws that could have helped out Ridley. So we also saw Ridley without Julio quite a bit. And yes, the offense was pretty bad, but he got fed the ball when Julio was out. So it kind of made up for it. It was less efficient, but the usage was up and he had some good weeks. I think that was also a little skewed. There was a week Ridley was hurt and put up a goose egg. So, I just think Ridley is a better overall player. And we've seen a little bit more with him without the number one to think that he can get by. But it's a valid point for sure. I think the air yards usage is encouraging. That's the profile of a number one receiver getting thrown the ball that deep. And we know he can win on shorter routes and get open. So I think he's got big playability and the volume we look for in PPR leagues.
Yeah, by the way, for the record, I completely agree that this is entirely different from what happened with Juju. That question came up quite a bit, and it's kind of weird because we learned from our mistake with Juju that just because the first receiver leaves doesn't mean someone's initially going to step up to that spot, because Juju wasn't an outside receiver even back then. And so for us to think that all of a sudden he's going to step into that role seamlessly was insane. But we've seen Ridley play that role. And for anyone concerned about the games where, yes, the efficiency's down, that matters, right? And yes, he had that goose egg game when Julio was hurt, that matters. But it's one thing in the middle of the season to have to change your game plan because a receiver's out. And it's another thing entirely when you have a training camp to prepare for that. When you're able to come into the season and, hey, this is our number one guy and we have to game plan for him now. Mm-hmm. I think Ridley's going to be fine. I like Ridley a lot. I would pick Ridley ahead of Hopkins. Personally, I think that there's more of a reason to be excited for Ridley than Hopkins. I think I'd still have him behind Hill and Diggs though, at wide receiver. Okay, cool. So is there anyone that is in the top 24 that shouldn't be, again, not including a Jordan Love, Devonta Adams connection. Is there anyone that you're concerned about in the top 24?
No, and that's the thing with the receivers this year is I like them all. So, no, I'll draft any of them. I don't even know how much time you need to spend on these early round receivers. If you're going into a draft, I would spend your time, you know, last minute cramming on these running backs. So you can't go wrong with these receivers. I mean, just look at DK Metcalf. Like, he's as physically imposing as any player you could draft. He's already shown it in his early career, and he's got a top-notch quarterback, and you can get him at the end of the second round. So, no, I they're all great picks. They're all worthy, probably, like I said, of being picked three or four spots higher. So if you're stuck, you don't like the running backs, just take one of these receivers.
Yeah, but he can't even hit a softball. So, like, you know, he's like the only person who strikes out in the celebrity softball game. I mean, you know, I'm concerned about DK Metcalf now. Yeah. So let's talk about tight ends. There's two tight ends in the top 24. So we're gonna bring one more guy in because obviously it's very clear there's a top three at tight end. And it's funny because the way the draft is shaking out, it's almost like there are three one-man tiers. And that's Travis Kelce in a league of his own. Darren Waller and George Kittle, you can say, are kind of in a similar tier, but Waller is definitely a half step above Kittle as far as the draft goes. So Waller currently is being drafted as the 23rd overall player, Kittle as the 31st. Let's start with Kelce. Are people crazy for drafting Kelce in the top five?
No, not at all. I mean, basically the argument against him is just age catches up with him. I mean, you look at his stats on a yearly basis at the tight end position, you can't compete with him. I mean, we're looking at last year, 145 targets, 136 the year before, 150 the year before. There's only a couple tight ends who have done that one year over the past 3 years, let alone just every year. So, no, Kelce, this is kind of ties into the, you know, the running backs that I like. If they're gone, I would much rather take a shot on the best tight end, even quarterback, not in the first two rounds, but earlier than we have in the past. I think you get one of those top running backs as you can, and then you take shots on these elite players at the tight end position and quarterback position earlier than we would have in the past. So Kelce, I mean, I wouldn't take him over the top couple running backs, but after that, you can make an argument for him. And I mean, there's just nobody to give the ball to in that passing game other than Kelce and Tyreek Hill. So it's Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball. I'll take my chances with that for another year.
Glad to hear you say that, because I don't remember if I said it on a podcast or if it was just in the Discord, but after I publicly ridiculed people earlier this year for drafting Kelce in the top five, I've since then realized that I personally have him ranked fourth after McCaffrey, Cook, and Kamara. For me, next is Kelce. I would probably rank Hill higher if they were at the same position, but they're not. Kelsey's a tight end, and he's pretty much a cheat code there. Darren Waller at 23 and George Kittle at 31. How do you feel about those two? Do you think that's a good price point for those guys?
It's been interesting. Like, I didn't see the Darren Waller hype coming. I mean, obviously we all knew how great he was, but I noticed that during Scott Fishbowl, there was just a surge where people were drafting him. I don't know if it was to make a point or not, but he was getting drafted earlier and earlier. He was surpassing Kittle. I'm surprised that Waller is getting drafted that high, because he went from kind of perennial undervalued tight end to, you know, being clearly the second. So I don't have a problem with it. Again, these tight ends just separate themselves because there are not many tight ends that get much volume. You're usually just banking on touchdowns. And, you know, Darren Waller is a rare example of a tight end that could ever get 145 targets, which he had last year, two straight years, well over 100. So no, I'm fine taking him in the second round. We'll get, you know, compared to Kittle, we'll get to that in a minute. But once those running backs are gone, I'm probably still leaning wide receiver just because they're so good. But you can certainly make a case for Waller in the second round.
Well, let's get to Kittle, because the season that he had 2 years ago was absolutely insane. And he showed every bit of that production last year when he was healthy. I mean, the game that he had when he came back from injury, I don't have the stats right in front of me. I can get them in a second, but it was like the first game back from injury, and he absolutely went off. I don't see what was there any reason not to like Kittle at the same price as Darren Waller?
Well, I don't think so. So there's more risk baked in with Kittle, but you get him a round later than Waller. Maybe not a full round, but maybe a full round in some cases. You get him two rounds later than Kelce. There's risk, but he also could easily be the tight end one, and nobody would be surprised. You know, he's had injury issues. Is that going to happen the rest of his career or not? Who knows? QB situation's a little up in the air for Kittle. We don't know if Trey Lance is going to be good or not. We don't know how many games we're going to get out of Garoppolo, but I think it's a risk worth taking because you get that discount on him. And if you're playing to win, I think he's a great draft pick in the third round. He's shown some pretty crazy efficiency in his career. I mean, his yards per, you know, reception numbers are just excellent. And if Lance is better than Garoppolo, there's no reason he can't keep those up. I mean, I find it hard to believe they're going to roll with Garoppolo after they gave up all this draft capital to get Lance. So I'm really excited to see what he can do in this Shanahan offense. And I think Kittle is worth that risk. And I get it. If you don't want to take a tight end that early, then pass on him and play the position like you do every year. But Kittle, if he stays healthy and his touchdown luck gets a little better, he could be tight end one overall easily.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it matters just throwing him the ball because that game he came back from injury, he went 15 receptions on 15 targets, 183 yards. And that was with Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard throwing him the ball. So as long as Trey Lance can be better than Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard, which is not a high bar that we're setting here, he should be in good shape. That's it for those top, you know, tight ends. We'll touch a little bit on quarterbacks. There's no quarterbacks that are going in the first two rounds, thankfully, because that doesn't make sense unless you're in a super flex league or any other league where you can start maybe a two quarterback league. You push quarterbacks up. But Patrick Mahomes is coming very close. He is going 27th overall. The next highest quarterback is Josh Allen at 37th overall. Just what are your thoughts on drafting quarterbacks early and getting one of these guys? I noticed Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, and Dak Prescott are all off the board by the end of the fourth round. So you got five quarterbacks going in the top four, 48 picks.
Yeah, I'm much more in now than I have been in the past on the early quarterbacks. I'm not going to fight anyone who wants to take these guys in the third or fourth. And I've done some best ball leagues where it's just 10 teams. And I don't think taking Mahomes at the end of the second is that crazy. You've got less teams in the league. You can fill out the rest of your roster a little easier. You lock in the best quarterback. I've taken him at pick 20 a couple times just to kind of give myself a nice stack or try to give me some upside. But in a typical league, I'm not drafting them that early. I think generally what I'm targeting, it's a sweet spot. And if you miss it, it might hurt a little bit, but I'm going to target Herbert or Russell Wilson in the sixth round. I think it's a great deal on them. It's right at the end of my quarterback tier where there's real upside and not a lot of risk. So those six rounders are what I'm going for. But anyone from Dak Prescott to Josh Allen in the fourth, I don't think is a bad pick either. So it's more, I think you really want to get your tiers set and try to get the last one in your tier. That's how I would play quarterback this year. It's probably going to be earlier than you would have taken them in the past, but these guys have rushing ability and it's just, there's much more upside this year. I mean, you look at a couple of my fades would be Tom Brady and Matt Stafford in the seventh round. It's not because I don't think they're good players, but the rushing ability, it's just not there. And I don't think you've got a QB1 outcome in them. So I'm going to get that first tier and fade the rest until late round. So if you don't get Russell Wilson or Justin Herbert, then I'm going to wait for a while. But otherwise, I'll take the gamble. Hope one of those guys really blows up and gives me a QB1 season.
I love that after you said Brady, you're like, oh, God, I have to clarify who Brady is because there's got to be so many quarterback Bradys out there.
Yeah, one of my finer moments.
Appreciate it. No, it's good, man. You know, we always have to make sure the listeners understand who we're talking about. It's very important. So with all that said, how would you say you're coming into a draft? Like, what's your approach, right? A lot of people, when they start their draft, they don't know what pick they have, right? Not every draft is like a slow draft where you see it and you're like, oh, cool. I have pick 10. And so I have 3 days to prepare with the speed that some of these slow drafts go, right? And a lot of these people, they do live drafts. You find out 10 minutes before the draft starts. Okay, cool. I've got pick four. And that's not a lot of time to prepare. So you have to do your preparation before you find out which pick you have. What would you say your general strategy is for the early rounds coming into the season?
Yeah, so I would look at, so you know going into the draft that rounds 3 through 6, I would say, receivers are going to fly off the board. Everyone's taking the running backs early. That's when everyone's going to catch up and draft the receivers is rounds 3 through 6. I mean, you can just look. NFC has this really nice, it breaks out the ADP like a draft board. So you can really see where these runs are and the receivers just go like crazy. So, you know, that's coming early on. Like I said, you get one of the stud running backs, but I think you want to get three receivers if you can in those first six rounds. I mean, that locks you in someone like T. Higgins as your wide receiver three, Chase Claypool, who has a ton of upside, Brandon Ayuk. If you can get three of them through the first six, I think you're in really good shape. After that, you kind of hit a little bit of a wall. Then you've got the Jerry Jeudy, Robbie Anderson. They're not quite as locked in as some of those previous receivers. So I want to get three of these receivers in the first six or so rounds. That means maybe just taking one running back. That leaves you with wiggle room to take a tight end, to take a quarterback. It still leaves you that room. But if you go and draft three running backs in the first six rounds, it really starts limiting all the other positions for you. So it's very top heavy at running back for me. Take one of the studs if they're there. And after that, just take your best combination of wide receiver and tight end. Maybe start looking at quarterback rounds four through six. But that's how I'm approaching it. I used to be someone that would have just loaded up on three running backs in the first six rounds. And I haven't gone full zero RB, but I think we do need to adapt. Really know what you're chasing here at running back. Know if that ceiling is there. And if it's not, go for these receivers because there's so much talent. I mean, you got someone like Amari Cooper mid-fourth who's just he's been rock solid. He's got a lot of upside. He plays with a great quarterback and a great offense. Like, you can get him mid-fourth round. There's just so much talent. I mean, Adam Thielen in the fifth round, his connection with Kirk Cousins, like, that's a steal. So just make sure you get three or four of these receivers. They're just too good to pass up, and you're going to regret it later.
Yeah, of the 48 picks between rounds three through six, half of them are wide receivers, and then another 12 of them are running back. So obviously a far cry from the first two rounds, yep, where some, two-thirds of the picks are running backs, and then there's like a handful of wide receivers. So definitely it flips the script, basically, mm-hmm, rounds three through six, which for me is why I want to make sure that I come out of the first two rounds with one of those running backs. If I have an early pick in the draft, then I almost certainly want to get a running back with my first pick. And honestly, I think for me, if I don't get one with the first pick, like if I go for Travis Kelce early in the first round, then I think what I would do is I would get my first running back in the third round and come back around for a guy like J.K. Dobbins or DeAndre Swift, or hope maybe like someone like let's Joe Mixon fall. Mm-hmm. If I get a end of the first round pick, then I'm probably targeting like an Eckler or a Chubb or even Antonio Gibson, right? Either at the end of the first round or beginning of the second. So I'm leaving the first two rounds either with a running back or knowing I'm getting one at the beginning of the third. And then I want to pair that up with either Travis Kelce or someone like Calvin Ridley. Like, I'll just say this, my dream scenario, I think, coming into drafts this year is I get a top three pick and I can start my draft with like Alvin Kamara and Calvin Ridley. That would be like the dream personally for me. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, that looks great. I mean, you even just look at like the team two in this ADP breakdown. I mean, you go Dalvin Cook, Darren Waller, AJ Brown, Lamar Jackson, and you're still getting like Deontay Johnson, and I wouldn't take Juju there. But there's some interesting builds you can get if you do take one of those tight ends and quarterbacks, and there's still some talent at receiver. So yeah, I'm in the same boat. I definitely want a running back early if I can, because it's going to get tricky if you're at pick, say, 11. None of your running backs fell. I mean, it's tough when you go two receivers there, receiver, tight end. But then, you know, it puts some guys in play that maybe you would pass on normally later on, maybe like a Mike Davis in the sixth round or a Chase Edmonds, Trey Sermon in the seventh. Like, there's still some interesting names out there. You just make sure you got – if you're going to skip on those running backs in the first two rounds, make sure you kind of have those targets kind of set aside for those later rounds, because it gets a little scary once you get past the fifth round of running back.
I will say this, if I'm team 11 in a draft and none of the running backs I want are on the board, then that means that there were 10 running backs that went the 10 picks before me, and I can start with like Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. So I'd be okay with that. Like, if my team started with Kelce and Stephon Diggs, or if I started with Tyreek Hill and Stephon Diggs, I'll live with that and then figure out running back after the fact.
And people have corrected from last year. We had a lot of early receivers that busted on us, like Michael Thomas. He was just, everyone got a good deal on him at the end of the first round and he completely fell flat. That's not going to happen every year. So we've corrected. I think we should correct back a little bit. And don't be afraid to take Tyreek Hill and Stephon Diggs to start a draft, because that's just locked in weekly production.
Yeah, it feels like we've after the rise of like the zero RB and you know, getting a little bit cute like that, it feels like we've really swung as far the other way as we have in a long time. Yeah. With all the running backs here in the first two rounds.
And,
so
it's really just the elite receivers, though. People are afraid to spend that first round pick on a receiver early second. You can see after that, everything breaks loose and everyone starts drafting all these receivers they love. So it's just, I think people think the elite upside isn't there or maybe not predictable or something, but it probably is. And we need to take advantage of people making that mistake, just, you know, kind of recency bias stuff.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's podcast. We are going to do so much more as we get close to the season. As the rankings come out, we're going to do rankings podcasts for every position. When the projections come out, we're definitely going to do podcasts about those projections and kind of digging into them. We'll talk you through your draft, not just early round strategy, but late round strategy, middle of the draft strategy, dynasty leagues. I mean, basically anything that you're preparing for this upcoming preseason, we will have you covered. So keep your eyes peeled on the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast feed. And of course, again, please, if you're interested at all in being part of the QB List team, if you love football, if you love helping people, and if you love fantasy football, you know, send your information over to info@QBList.com or check out our website, QB List, or our Twitter @TheQBList to send your information over. Eric, any final words as we start getting ready for another season of football?
No, just really excited. We're holding back a little bit for August. So if you want some of this information up front, join our Discord community. That's all I would say. PL Plus is a great time. We got a lot of good people in there. Maybe helped you win your fantasy baseball league down the stretch. So come join us. We would appreciate having you. And I'll answer any question you throw at me. So get in there and just good luck, everybody, getting ready for drafts this year.
And get in before your keeper league deadlines are set, because we'll help you with those too. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next time.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of body plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch Bonnie plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.